panelists, we got a lot of questions. This is one I was handed in the at the break. Hydrogen explosion is a misnomer, and the gas is actually tritium. Is it important to refer to the explosions as tritium explosions? Whoever wants to take that?
Yeah, I can. Is this working? Yeah. No, the gas was actually hydrogen. It's what happens is the fuel rod gets hot and then scavenges, H2O scavenges the hydrogen, scavenges the oxygen out of water molecules to make zinc oxide, which is a brittle thing. And so the what's liberated then is raw hydrogen gas. I had someone catch me on that too, and do I think that these were hydrogen explosions? Unit 1 definitely was a hydrogen explosion. Unit 4 definitely was a hydrogen explosion. Unit 3 started as a hydrogen explosion. I'm not, I am in the minority, but I think it's more than a hydrogen explosion. I actually think it was something called a prompt moderated criticality that was caused by a hydrogen explosion, which then drove the fuel and scattered particles of fuel for as far as 2 miles from the fuel pool. But that's a minority opinion, but all scientists would agree that Unit 3 was started by a hydrogen explosion, that's for sure. The important thing, though, is that it was a detonation. How it was created is less important than the fact that it was a detonation shockwave, and no containment can withstand that.
Okay. To Akio Matsumura, I don't know if you can answer this one. Why has Senator Wyden been silent since his initial effort to alert the world to this huge problem?
Well, I think Senator Wyden, the first U.S., only one U.S. congressman who visited Fukushima, he's not keeping silent. Actually, Annie and Bob Alvarez and Kevin, we are going to meet Senator Wyden and share idea what we discussed today. And we'd like to ask him a leading role for on this issue and encourage his colleague, not only America, outside America, a lawmaker, to pay this attention.
Okay. This one is for Arne Gunderson. Why didn't Reactor 2 explode?
Reactor 2 did explode. The reactor building is the box that surrounds the containment. And on Fukushima 1, 3, and 4, it was the reactor building that exploded. In reactor 2, the containment exploded. There's definitely a large crack, perhaps five inches in diameter, in the containment itself. So the explosion occurred in Unit 2 inside the containment. The explosions occurred in 1, 3, and 4 in the reactor building, which surrounds the containment.
Okay. To Hisako Sakayama, is Japan's recent drift towards militaristic nationalism part of industry's effort to control damage to their power and profits?
国家主義的な方向に移ってるっていうことは、日本人とか日本の国にとって絶対にいいことではないと思ってます。で、それは今の傾向です。
I not necessarily agree with this idea. Right now, the Japanese opinion, nationwide opinion, is running toward the militaristic nationalism, but I don't think there's any benefit for the nation as it is.
日本国民全体にとっても世界にとっても日本が国家主義的な方向に動くっていうことは非常に危険な要素だと私は思っています。
This is a very dangerous element, not only for Japan, but also the worldwide. That's it.
Okay. For Dr. Lockbaum, I think I'm going to give you two that are sort of interrelated, and brief answers to both, please. The implications of the Fukushima catastrophe are global. Would the Union of Concerned Scientists convene an inquest now that more information is available relating to this preventable tragedy? The other, how can the UCS claim that nuclear power can be safely operated when the history of the AEC, NRC, and industry show 60 years of dishonesty and negligence, not to mention the unsolved problem of nuclear waste? Is it theory only? Now, I dare you to answer both of those.
Where's Dave? He disappeared?
He disappeared.
Well, where are the police?
NRC meeting.
I don't know.
Oh, we have to go to another meeting?
No, I can't speak for the Union of Concerned Scientists. No, sorry.
Well, somebody take a look for him and just see if you can find him. But we've got a lot of other questions, so worry not. For all panelists, tough to do this briefly, but you've got to. The means of protecting public and or preventing accident. Anybody want to take that? The means of protecting the public and or preventing accidents. Of course, that's aside from getting rid of all nuclear plants.
Yeah, that's the best.
Anybody want to take that?
Well, it's been Fairwind's position. It's Fairwind's position that if you make the nuclear power plants meet existing law, they'll be forced to shut down because they can't afford to meet existing law. So we're not talking about new laws. It's just that the laws that are on the books, if they were properly enforced, would cause nuclear power to shut down because it just is no longer economical. No one has ever shut down a nuclear plant because of nuclear safety. It's always been that they've been too expensive to fix to make them safe. So the argument occurs at Wall Street, and I think that's where you have to take the argument in order to win with a Congress like the one we have.
Here are a couple of related things to the panel. What could be the state of the Unit 3 fuel pool if the March 13 detonation explosion began there? I guess that's for you,
okay.
Arnie.
Unit 3 had 30 rods, 30 bundles of fuel that were MOX, which stands for mixed oxide, which means they were plutonium. But Unit 3 had hundreds of bundles in it that were spent fuel, and spent fuel starts its life as uranium but becomes plutonium over the 4 years inside a nuclear reactor. So while Unit 3 had a test of MOX fuel, plutonium fuel, in fact there was an enormous amount of plutonium in all the reactors from the beginning. So that the issue of Unit 3 is worse than any of the others because of MOX, I don't think is accurate. I think had Unit 3 been a full MOX core, been a full plutonium core, it would have been much more serious, but it wasn't. It only had 30 bundles used in a test. The plutonium, there's about 500 or 600 pounds of plutonium in each of the reactor cores. Because, again, the uranium transmutes to plutonium over the 4 years that it's inside the nuclear core.
Okay. The next one, I think, is easy. Given that the Chernobyl reactor meltdown was assigned to number 7 as the top of the scale for nuclear accidents, Shouldn't the Fukushima meltdowns be given at least a 10 or even more drastic meltdowns? I got an idea we'd all agree, right? 10 makes good sense to me. 20 if you want. Okay.
By the way, it isn't about the amount of radiation released. The international scale to go from a 7, and I proposed an 8 for Fukushima Daiichi, it really involves more international cooperation. And the issue at Daiichi that was different than Chernobyl is that there were the 6 units at Daiichi, the 4 units at Daini, the 3 units in Onagawa, and the 1 unit at Tokai, all of which were in danger of melting down. We almost lost 14 plants that day. If the international community's standards were higher, it might have provoked a faster response.
Okay. How does the World Health Organization justify a claim that aside from some workers exposed as the accident was unfolding, there are no appreciable long-term health effects anticipated, especially in light of the children's thyroid study? Anybody want to take that?
While she's translating, I'll refer you to the Dilbert comic strip. The secret is in the assumption.
長期的に最終的に影響はがんだと思うんですけれども、
一番いい方法は逃げることだと、避難させることだと思います。病気になってから治療するよりは、予防した方がいい。Of course, the long-term effect result could be the cancer, but rather than treating them once they became cancerous, caused cancer, I recommend that they should evacuate first. That's the most important thing.
Okay, I think this. This one's for Arne Gunderson. Can you say more about concentrations of cesium in soils across Japan? What are the levels? How much is that in totals?
Yeah. I would refer people to SafeCast. It's a great citizen scientist organization in Japan that since the accident has been crowdsourcing data, and I think they have now something on the order of 3 million data points through Japan. I think the SafeCast data, they're using standard procedures, standard detectors, and non-biased data gatherers. I think that's about the best data that's available. I just had a conversation with an American scientist who came back from Japan last week, and he was trying to sell a decontamination technology, and his instrument was reading 10 times higher than the Japanese scientists that were right next to him, and his was properly calibrated. So he has no confidence in any of the data coming up through the Japanese scientific establishment. So I think SafeCast is your best bet for good data.
Okay. For David Lockbaum, 2 questions. How can the UCS claim that nuclear power can be safely operated when the history of the AEC, NRC, and industry shows 60 years of dishonesty and negligence, not to mention the unsolved problem of nuclear waste? And the second question, David, is the implications of the Fukushima catastrophe are global. Would the Union of Concerned Scientists convene an inquest now that more information is available relating to this proven preventable tragedy?
Well, I'll take the second one first because it's easy. We thought about what we could do more, but when, in this country, we're having difficulty winning no-brainers with the federal government. For example, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, for the record, says that the risk from spent fuel in pools is the same as in dry casks. That's not, you couldn't even, that's so far from the truth, you couldn't see the truth from the Hubble telescope. And yet they maintain that's their official position. The federal government doesn't believe that we need to put filters in containment vents. The rest of the world, except for Spain, India, and us, has done so. We determined it's not necessary to do so, it looks like. So when you lose the no-brainers, it's difficult to move to a more altruistic or more idealistic point. Right now, the deck is stacked against the American public on the federal level. It's not really a chance. You know, they can't even get a budget except to pay themselves. So it's very difficult to think that they could look beyond that into helping us. As far as the first one, we do believe that nuclear power plants can be operated safely. The first major report I did for the Union of Concerned Scientists was called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The plants that were in the good column, we rated 10 plants in the United States on a safety scorecard we developed. The top performing plant was the Surry plant, Virginia, that was also the lowest cost electricity producer amongst the nuclear fleet. We first checked our math because that wasn't what we thought the outcome was going to be. That's the reason we picked Surry. We thought they were taking shortcuts. They weren't. They're very aggressively looking for safety problems, not only at their own facilities but at others. And they coupled that with a very effective way of dealing with safety problems right the first time. In doing that, they were able to achieve good safety performance and good economic performance, which makes it harder to explain the plants in the ugly column that weren't doing either. They weren't economical and they weren't safe. To us, the role is the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to not give owners the choice of being good or ugly, only good. But we don't have that in the United States. We have Sergeant Schultz on a national level. We have discussed, even before Fukushima, whether we should just say that we're run out of time. After 40 years of UCS looking on nuclear safety issues, that idealistic world where the NRC actually enforces safety regulations and the federal government actually gives a damn about the American public, maybe it's time to give up on that dream and throw in a towel and say these plants can't be operated. We haven't been able to reach that conclusion. We still fight the fight. The one rule I have at UCS is I don't care how much they piss me off. My goal is to piss them off more. And as long as I keep winning on that scorecard, I'm going to keep fighting.
Okay. For Akio Matsumura, the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty Organization monitors radiation all over the world. How can we get those data released to the public?
Well, I think, Annie, I'll pass on to you this question. You're more experienced than that. Could you reply?
I have a problem with any of the UN organizations, IAEA, World Health Organization. Let's look at IAEA. Their point number two in their official charter is to promote nuclear power, so not to regulate it. So when you hear about the UN watchdog being the IAEA, check their charter out before you read any further. So I really question, if I got IAEA data, would I really believe it? And frankly, my answer is no. I can't. I would rather believe Dr. Yablokov's data or some of the others instead of the international watchdog agencies.
Okay. This is for Hisako Sakiyama. What percent of the exposed children were examined for thyroid abnormalities? Is there an estimate?
今分かっていることは 38,114 人の中で確定的なサイロイドキャンサーになったのが3人で、その、サスペクト、疑いがある人が7人ということです。
As of now, among the research results, a little over 38,000 children, there are three thyroid cancer patients and seven suspected patients. And the future.
Okay.
たその子たちも被災地全体の子どもたちの可能性が、
それは健康管理調査っていう福島県立医大がやっていて、その統計がそういうふうに発表されているので、私たちが別に調べたわけではないので、それをまあ、信用しているというか、疑うんだったら自分たちで調べなければいけないわけなんですけど、問題はコントロールをきちっと今まで取ってなくて、今後から取り出したということがいけなかったと思うんです。
Well, this is a result of a Fukushima Medical University. And based on their research, we came with these numbers. But I think the real issue is there was no prepared structure for this type of research. We just treat with the numbers afterwards. So this is not, and also we have to trust these results. Hopefully this is an accurate one.
Okay. Here's a great question, and it's for any one of the panelists. What about ocean contamination through contaminated water and its effect on sea life? Anybody want to?
I'll do it. Okay. When the accident happened, what's happening with the ocean contamination is, first off, about 70 or 80% of the airborne contamination wound up in the ocean. And of course, then the other 20% of the radiation is now up in the mountains of Japan. And as it rains or snows, it gets washed into the ocean as well. So ultimately, the ocean will receive all of this material. But what's happening at Daiichi that didn't happen at Chernobyl is that the groundwater is coming up through cracks in the building. And to the tune of 400 cubic meters a day, about 400 tons a day of water is introduced into the buildings where the nuclear fuel is lying on the floor. So we are getting highly contaminated water to the tune of 400 tons a day every day. Now, the Japanese are building tanks, and they're building a tank every 2.5 days to store this. About 1,000 tons per tank. There's a large tank farm where they're sucking water out of these basements and putting it into tanks that are not seismically qualified. I also was working with Dr. Koichi Nakamura early on in the accident, and both he and I felt that if you put a zeolite trench around the reactor, zeolite's a volcanic material that absorbs cesium. If you surrounded the reactors with a zeolite trench, it would be about 60 or 70 feet deep, about 20 meters deep, about 2 meters wide, 6 feet wide. That, and you pulled down the groundwater. If you sucked the groundwater out before it got into the reactor, you could avoid this problem. And Japanese officials who Dr. Nakamura and I were working with said, TEPCO can't afford it. So the ocean will continue to be contaminated. Please pray there's no earthquake, because the tank farm of hundreds of these tanks is not seismically qualified.
Okay. Is the Japanese health study monitoring other problems, that is, other than thyroid disease? Dr. Sukiyama.
健康管理調査っていうのは200万人福島県民200万人にアンケート調査を出して、それでその、彼らがどういうふうに動いたかによって染料を推定しています。
So the way we did the survey was asked 2 million Fukushima residents, and also we questioned where did they evacuate, and where did they relocate. Based on this type of information, we are assuming the level of radiation that they were affected.
でもその、健康管理調査 の調査の回収率が 23% で、それが非常に問題になっているわけです。
Unfortunately, return survey was only 23% out of 2 million people. So the result is, the accuracy and also content result is very poor, and that's the major concern.
でその中で線量の推定をしているわけですけれども、一番最高に汚染された人で55ミリシーベルトぐらいということで大量な被曝というのはないということが今のところ結論になっています。
Among the results of this 23% survey reply, the highest radiation level affected was only 55 microsieverts. So this is why we resulted that not major radiation effect was done.
で、18歳以下の人に関しては、超音波の甲状腺の検査です。けれども他の人たちにも一応一般的な健康診断というようなことをやるということは言っていて、いろいろな項目を今決めているわけですけれども、市民の側からその項目が十分でないということで今検討をしているところです。
For youngsters, those who are under 18 years old, we've done a microsonic test for the thyroid cancer. But a lot of opinion came up from people in Fukushima that this type of test is not efficient, not sufficient. We should offer more concrete tests for children.
ある地域では子どもの学校で心臓の心電図を取るっていうのが日本では行われているんですけれども、ある地域では心電図の異常が出てきているというような報告もありますので、これからも心電図とかそういうものをきちっと見ていかなきゃいけないんじゃないかっていうことは言われています。
At schools, they offer a heart monitor survey among children, and we received some results that there are some abnormality in those heart monitor surveys. So this is also another area that we should spread further among children.
Okay. There are a couple of questions on cesium, and here's one. Was there a scare that winds would blow radiation to the west coast of the United States? Is that something to cause alarm? That's going to be covered in the final session and at least one talk. I know Joe Mangano is going to talk about thyroid abnormalities when radiation hit the United States. I think there may be a second talk in that same session. And the cesium will be covered too. Now here's one that, let's see, it's for Lochbaum and Gunderson. Both California's nuclear plants are located, like Fukushima, in earthquake and tsunami zones. What are your recommendations for California in the light of Fukushima?And I will tell you ahead of time, you're not allowed to say, just leave.
Please.
Both the California plants are located on earthquake zones, and they're also... Two plants, four reactors. I had trouble with oceans earlier. None of the reactors in California meet the NRC's fire protection regulations. The Fukushima, one of the things that earthquakes can do is start fires because they can break up pipes carrying flammable liquids, hydrogen gas, and so on. It would be nice if California's regulated reactors actually met the fire protection regulations. After all, they only adopted back in 1980, so they've had quite a few years to try to get into compliance. But the Nuclear Regulatory Commission gave each of the reactors in California more time to not be in compliance with fire protection regulations. So the Californians are protected today as well as the Japanese were on March 10, 2011. They're protected against a reactor accident unless a reactor accident occurs. So I wouldn't buy lottery tickets in California because I think you've got better uses for your luck than trying to win a lottery, because you're in the nuclear lottery whether you like it or not.
Well, that's very encouraging.
You didn't let me answer the other one, just leave.
This is for any of the panelists. Has the incineration of contaminated waste spread risk dangerously to other parts of Japan?
Yeah, I've talked about the incineration of waste on the website. A lot of the waste, so more than 90% of the tsunami waste is uncontaminated. And there's enormous amounts of it, but at least 10% of the tsunami waste is. In addition, though, there's waste being generated from the cleanup. And we're finding now that the Japanese cleanup agencies are not disposing of the highly contaminated soils or leaves or lawn clippings or things like that. They're simply throwing them into the local rivers and letting it run into the ocean or the sediments. So first off, 90% of the stuff is clean and there's an enormous volume and you've got to burn it. But the 10% that is radioactively dirty is now being, with cesium, some of that cesium goes airborne, and the IAEA has recommended things called bag houses and electrostatic precipitators, which the Japanese have not been doing. So we're getting cesium being revolatilized. And then in addition, of course, the ash is going to have cesium in it. The ash is now being put into ponds, which in theory are supposed to be lined, and the liners in theory have to last at least 300 years. A pinhole leak in that liner will cause something on the order of an 80,000 gallon a year leak. So it's critical that when this ash is consolidated into pits, that it be well monitored afterward, because I think groundwater contamination is almost assured over the next 300 years. What I said on this is, I'm sorry for the people that lived near the plant in Fukushima, but perhaps the Japanese should say, out to 6 kilometers or 10 kilometers, it's a national sacrifice zone and you're never coming back, and we're going to use that piece of real estate to put all of this contamination rather than scatter it throughout Japan. That's... That's politically controversial, and I'm not a politician, Akio is, but the issue is, rather than scatter this radioactive waste throughout the country, if you've got an area that's highly contaminated already, I think the best thing for the country would be to consolidate it as opposed to spread it out.
Okay.
Okay. Go
ahead, of course.
Well, I am, as I told, a layman on this issue. What I learned, this is an enormous challenge, are two invisible matters. So therefore, public people do not realize. Invisible matter, two. One is the children issue. So when I was invited to dinner by Prime Minister Hatoyama, he invited the cabinet member and the other senior member. And one of cabinet member asked me, well, it's accurate. Helen said 1 million children affected Chernobyl or not. I said, it doesn't matter. whether it's 1 million or half a million, it doesn't matter. I said, it is a fact, as Helen said. It's already children radiation issue. And TEPCO said, 50 years they may take to contain radiation. So this is a fact. So, Hotem said, oh, is this fact of today? I said, yes, this is a fact of today. Don't go into argument, scientific argument. Whether this is a percentage is a risk for children or not, I believe in Helen. This is already, as of today, risk to the children. So number one. Number two, invisible matter is we do not know what happening now in the underground of the nuclear reactor. As Annie explained, when I talked to member parliament in Europe, my friend, they were under impression that already Fukushima issue was solved. And when I talked to your leader as well, they surprised to hear what I'm saying to what Bob Alvarez said, what Annie Gunderson said. They're surprised. So I'd like to let you know that we are challenging two invisible matters. The one, I believe in Helen said, it is a fact of already as of today. Japan cannot escape from the reality that this radiation and children issue another 100 years or 200 years. So many leaders I met were shocked. Number two, this reactor issue. You cannot see the inside issue. So nobody knows. That's why people try to pay attention to policy issue. They forgot it's a potential accident remain now. You are talking policy matter 30 years, 40 years. You have a time. But Fukushima doesn't have a time. That's why I told to all party leaders, and I said one of the cabinet, my answer is to solve this issue, or to improve this issue, is maybe we might depend on military for sure the sacrifice, as Chernobyl did it. The many military workers die, which keep quiet and silence. But that is reality. So these are issues I want to let you know.
All right. This may be the last question. It goes to you and also to Hisako Sakiyama. Are there any legal proceedings for criminal negligence planned in Japan for Dr. Yamashita, for Adano, for Hagano, for TEPCO executives to arrest these traitors for deceiving the public? Now, before you answer that, if we applied those criteria, for starters, we'd indict the entire Congress and the President.
山下さんたちはその事故の原因ではなかったと思います。事故が起きてから放射線、低線量の放射線が安全だということをみんなに言ってきて、人心を惑わせたということだと思います。
With regard to Dr. Yamashita and the people around him, they were not exact cause of the accident. But what they did was they misinformed public, saying that the low radiation level is not direct health threat.
それで事故を起こした責任者に対しては今裁判が日本中でいろいろ行われていて、たくさん私もその原告になっていますけれども、裁判が行われる、これから行われると思うんですけど、検察がそれを事件として取り上げるかどうかということがまだ決まってなくて、ないです。
There are a lot of legal accusations are popping up all over Japan, and I'm one of them too. But whether the authority will accept as a criminal case or not is not clear yet, as of now.
で、健康問題に関してはですね、福島県立医大あるいは福島県と IAEA とかなり協定を結んで健康管理っていうのをこれからやられて行われていくので、もしかしたらチェルノブイリと同じような結果になるのではないかと私たち市民は非常に心配しています。
With regard to health protectionAmong Fukushima Prefecture's Medical University and the Fukushima Prefecture's government and IAEA, these three entities are together planning future health protection. So I'm concerned that this may lead to something similar to Chernobyl's case.
What would the ideal arrangement for monitoring the populations at heights, what would be the ideal arrangement?For monitoring the populations at highest risk, how large a cohort would need to be enrolled, what health indices should be followed. Now, I tell you, we won't take those up. I'll just give you the answers to them. How large a cohort? Big. What health indices? Lots. Including, I'm being serious, including thyroid abnormalities, cancer, infections,immunologic abnormalities. I mean, there's a whole host of things you'd have to follow. So here's the question, and it's an important one. Who should initiate and control this long-term study? The Japanese government, WHO, ICRP, and I, none of the above. Well, that would just be for Japan, as a matter of fact.Your questions could be applied to the United States around nuclear reactors. We ought to be doing the same kind of studies that you're talking about. Who wants to take that question?
Well, then I take, when I met Chief Cabinet Secretary, I made it clear we need independent international assessment team.Composed of nuclear scientists, engineering structure experts, geologists, put together. Because otherwise, all the scientists saying all different stories, nobody knows what is happening. So I made it clear to ask Prime Minister Noda to raise that question to President Obama meeting. I don't know whether he did it or not.
Anybody else?It is a hugely important issue, and don't think it's inexpensive. With the cohort you need, it would actually, and the follow-up duration, I mean, it has to be a very long duration to get all the effects. And as I indicated earlier, I think if you do that kind of study, you ought to look at other toxins or environmental...poisons or nutritional abnormalities in the population so you can figure out who is being affected the most by low-level radiation.